her a fist bump, and you can be seated, okay? All right. Okay. So today we're going to talk about serving one more time, but I want to take a little bit of a different aspect of it. Last week, Donna preached a great message, and she told the story about when our family went to New York City. So that's what our kids wanted to do. We had, you know, 2020, we had all this messes between 2020 and 2022 and who's graduating and all that and trips. We wanted to do a graduation trip. So our kids voted, let's go to New York City. And so when they said, we want to go to New York City, all I heard was, and walk 500 miles, okay? So we did that, but we got to go to the Empire State Building. And in the Empire State Building, when you get to the very, very top, there's like a little museum area in there, and you can see how they built the Empire State Building, right? So if you were here last week, you heard this. But do you know that they built the Empire State Building in 13 months? 13 months. Like they didn't build my house in 13 months. Do you know what I mean? Like one of the greatest iconic buildings in the world that people have been visiting for decades, one of the tallest buildings in New York City, they built it in 13 months because of how well they worked together, which is phenomenal to me. You know what I mean? My house is only a few years old and it's already broken and fallen apart. You know, I'm just being honest. They don't build things the way they used to. You know what I mean? But they built it in 13 months, the Empire State Building. Phenomenal. The power of working together, right? A great message. Then the week before that, I did a message that I believe really is the heartbeat of this entire series, which is you cannot separate, and I'll get back to this, you can't separate Christianity and serving. You can't do that because really they're the same thing. This morning, I want to broaden that just a little bit, and I want to talk about the heart of serving or kind of what it means, and I want to talk a little bit about the church itself and as we serve and what does all of that mean. So I gave you the verse last week, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20, verse 28. Okay, so you cannot separate Christianity from serving. It's not possible because when the incarnation happened, when God came to earth through Jesus, he came here to serve us and to take care of us because of our sin. All right, all the sinners in the room, please lift a hand and say, that's me, and smile. Smile at your neighbor and go, oh yeah, that's me for sure, okay? So when Jesus came to earth, he came to serve us. And so you cannot separate Christianity from serving. Can I hear an amen? It won't work. It's not like, hey, I'm a Christian, and because I'm a Christian, I think maybe one day I'll serve, or maybe I'll jump in. You know, it just doesn't work that way. That would be like, oh, hey, I'm a Christian, but I don't like anything that Jesus said. I'm a Christian, I don't want to do anything that Jesus asked us to do. I'm a Christian, I don't like any of Jesus's like core values or anything. I just like Jesus and I love to hang out with Jesus for an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes on a Sunday, but I definitely don't want to hang out with him any more than that because there's something inside of me that makes me feel really good when I'm in his presence. But when I leave his presence, I'm not with him any longer. So for us to say, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to serve, is like saying, I like to go to church on Sunday, but I really don't know him, and I don't want to be with him the rest of the week. That'd be like saying, oh man, I love you, Pastor Doug, but I can't stand your wife. And I think that we all know that it would actually be the other way around. Donna, I love you, but I can't stand your husband, and I don't like your children, okay? I don't like your children. That'd be like, oh, I love Pastor Donna, but I can't stand her kids. And I don't love anything. I go to church because they have really good music. But I don't like any of the things that they stand for. And most of the time, I just blot out all their messages because I'm really just there to sing a little bit. And I sing really loud because I want to be on the worship team, but I don't really want to worship. I just want to be seen, right? And so, but this is, you cannot separate serving from Christianity because they are the same thing. And if Christianity and serving are the same thing, if Jesus came to serve, that means that Christianity and serving is three things or not three things. It's not entitlement, it's not selfishness, it's not religious. Because if Jesus came to serve, he didn't come down here to serve you because he's entitled. Jesus didn't show up and go, gosh, you guys, you know, I'm Yahweh, so look, you need to serve me, and I really need you to serve me because I'm God, and I really have these feelings that have to be met inside of me, And if I don't feel those feelings, then I'm gonna get really upset with you and probably wipe you all out, you know, because I have feelings that need to be met. Did you know that God is perfect in himself and he's not insecure about whether or not you follow him or not? He just loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. That's what Christianity is. Entitlement means I get special privileges because of who I am. I get special privileges because of what I do. I get special privileges because of what my last name is. I get special privileges because of how much money I give. I get special privileges because of some other reason, and I'm entitled to get that. Jesus never treated you that way. He never came down here in an entitlement. And can I just tell you that entitlement might be one of the greatest viruses in the kingdom of God. Entitlement, once entitlement gets into the church, then everybody thinks that they deserve something. And as soon as everybody thinks that they deserve something, the church literally begins to fall apart from the inside out. Christians begin to attack each other. Christians begin to want to be in the spotlight instead of on their knees praying to Jesus. And all of a sudden, there are reasons why in the Bible it says, instead of just giving a whole bunch of stuff away to the church and then getting all the credit for it, do it in secret. Did you know there's a reason why God wants us to do some things in secret? Because it tests our heart and it keeps us from being entitled. He's like, go into your prayer closet and pray. Don't get up in front of everybody else and pray so that they can all see you. And you go, oh, look how much I pray. So entitlement destroys the church. Entitlement is a virus, and once it gets into the leadership, it gets into the house. Once it gets into the house, then all of a sudden we wake up one day and nobody wants to serve. They don't want to serve because you know why? Because everybody's here to serve me. It's not the kingdom of God. The second thing that it's not is it's not selfish. It's just not selfish. Jesus, when you think of selfishness, now how many of you know we live essentially in a selfish world? Can I hear an amen? Right? Okay. Is anybody, I don't know, maybe I'm just hungry, but is anybody like, if you've been to a restaurant and your wife says to you, man, hey, do you want to share? Like, even if you do, most of the time, you don't want to admit it because that would, like, be trading in your man card. You know what I mean? Like, no. Do you want to share, honey? No. Right? There's something in us that when we get something in front of us, we want to keep it all for ourselves. Selfishness is so rampant in our culture. You know, I just want to say this too. I think our culture is like seriously messed up. Can I hear an amen? And I also think that Jesus is the answer to all of that. Can I hear an amen? Okay. So when Jesus comes down, he has a relationship with you and you can't separate serving from Jesus, all of your selfishness goes away. You just have to live a life of asking God, take away my selfishness, get rid of all this stuff inside of me that wants to build my kingdom and build my world. It's not how the kingdom of God is built. The last thing is religion. Like, there's nothing that kills serving more than religion. You know, you could go all the way back to the first century and you can look at all of the, you know, the writings about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and some of the ways that they related not only to each other. You know, when religious people, it's interesting about religion, is religious people don't just judge people that they think are below them. Religion is almost like a competition. Religious people start competing with each other and then they start taking each other out. There's nothing that bothers me more than when I get on YouTube or Instagram and I see one pastor or leader from one movement telling the whole world that he hates a pastor from another movement. There's nothing that bothers me more than one group of churches getting on social media and telling the rest of the world that those churches are wrong and they don't know God and they're apostate and they can't be serving Jesus. And you all know that it happens all the time. There's nothing that bothers. If you want to see the Spirit of God begin to move in revival, like, just look at how religious we've become. The more religious we become, the more that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. The more religious we become, the more dry our heart, more dry our spirit. And so then God begins to stir people and they begin to come after that spirit of religion. You guys, if we're going to serve, we can't be religious, right? Religion. So it's entitlement, selfishness, and religion. We can't do that. So I was... Donna and I were speaking at a church in Hawaii. Now, originally, I'm from Hawaii. That's a long time ago now. And I pray for invitations to Hawaii all the time. That's why they never come. The Lord's dealing with me. But one time, we were there, and we got to see my family, and I went to speak at a church called New Hope. Now, New Hope is a great church. One of the most serving churches I've ever been to in my life, because they have this thing called the Ohana Spirit, right? Ohana Spirit. Y'all know, you heard the word, right? Even if it's from a cartoon. Okay. But it's real. So they're about a 12,000-person setup church. Now, if any of you have ever set up a church before, a church plant, just the very thought of setup, like gives you a need for counseling. You know what I mean? Like, I get triggered when I see like black curtains. You know what I mean? Like pipe and drape. If you talk to a church planter and they're like, oh, and you say the words pipe and drape, their eyes will cross, their body will begin to shake, because our whole life has been pipe and drape. So, but there are 12,000 people in a setup church. They have over 40 trucks and trailers in a lot. And every Friday night, about 8 or 9 o'clock, people show up in those trucks and trailers, and they take off all over Honolulu and to the Outer Islands and the North Shore, and they start setting up for church on Saturday night and Sunday. But everything is set up and tear down, and they've been doing that for, I don't even know, 25, 30 years. So we got to speak there, and I wanted to see their setup stuff because we were setting up then, and I needed to be inspired, you know what I mean? So we show up at the main high school, and we're walking in, and it's beautiful, and there's all these people outside. They're setting up tents everywhere. You've never seen so many tents. Everything happens outside, and I was like, this is incredible. Like, I love this. And I saw this man, and he was covered in dirt and sweat. I mean, covered in dirt and sweat. He looked like he'd been working for 2 hours. And he's over in the grass, and he's pounding in stakes, and he's putting up the tent, and he's just sweating, you know, and he's like getting down and dirty thing. And he was trying to lift something up, so I just ran over, and I helped him lift this, like this box of something. I just lifted it, and he's like, hey, thanks, brother. I was like, thank you so much. Like for welcoming me here. And he's like, hey, we started talking. I said, tell me, this is what you do. Do you do this every week? He goes, I have been setting up. I want to try my pigeon on you right now, but I'm afraid. Because if I try to, I can say, brother, but if I do anything else, no, it starts to sound weird. It just goes the wrong way. Brother, right? So, but I said, what do you do? He goes, I do this every week, brother, every week. And he says, I've been doing this for 9 years. 9 years, brother, right? 9 years? 9 years, brother. I come up every week. 9 years, set up the tent right here now. 10 years, brother. I said, you have been doing this for 9 or 10 years? He's like, yes. Every week you show up and get dirty and get on your hands and knees. And he says, yeah. I said, well, tell me. He's probably in his late 50s. I said, well, what do you do like for a living? Like, what's your life like? And he looks at me, and I could see it in his eyes. He was trying to decide if he should tell me. It's so funny. He goes, brother. He turns around. So we're on the outside of Honolulu. He says, brother. He turns around. You can see downtown Honolulu. And he goes, you see that big skyscraper? I go, yeah. He goes, that's mine. You see that other skyscraper? I go, yeah. He goes, that's mine too. Well, I have some of those. And I remember just going, oh, hold on a minute. I said, hold on just a second. Those two buildings in the skyline, those belong to you? He says, yeah. And I said, you show up every single week for 9 or 10 years, and you're covered in dirt and sweat? He says, yeah. He says, yeah, brother, this is how I serve my Jesus. This is what I'm called to do. I serve. And I remember standing there going, you know, it's hard to juxtapose this man who's covered in dirt and grass, and then he's like, yeah, you see the skyscraper? You know what I mean? Yeah, that's mine. You see the other skyscraper? Yeah, that's mine. You know? And then he went, took another step further. And he somehow came up with a bag of mangoes and gave me mangoes. Remember that? Like he just showed up with mangoes. So, you know, here's like this billionaire guy. He's like, here's the mangoes, brother. And so Donna and I literally, we didn't know what to do with them. So we're sitting in church with this. We want to thank Pastor Doug for being here today. I've got this bag of mangoes and I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? Because listen to me. In the kingdom of God, you cannot separate serving from Christianity. And Christianity serving is not entitled. It's not selfish and it's not religious. And if he had any selfishness, any entitlement, or any religion in him, he wouldn't have been showing up 2 hours early. Amen. And see, this is the kingdom of God. So I want to leave you with another statement as we move forward today. Serving is not just what we do, it's who we are, right? So you can't separate the two. So Christianity then is not, it's not what we do, it's who we are. And I love this verse in 1 John. It says this, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions." Now, what you have here is you have two separate words. You've got love and you've got actions. So if it said, "Hey, dear children, let's show everybody our actions," then you have entitlement, then you have religion, then you have selfishness. It's not about actions, but actions are a part of our walk in faith. Like, this is how it's supposed to work. So it's not about that. Then we have, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Give that brother a raise. So Christianity is not about that. So we have love and we have action. If you have action without love, you have religion. If you have love without action, you have complacency. Wow. You have a church that somehow has bought into some kind of a thought or a feeling that I can have a relationship with Jesus and I can go to church, but I don't want anything to do with anything that he does, anything that he says, or any of his values. To say that I'm not going to put action to the love that has transformed me is literally turning your back on the cross of Jesus Christ, who came out of heaven, walked on this earth, carried the cross, bled and died, and he put action to his love. And I think that the world right now is ready and looking for a church that will put action to their love. They will put action, hands and feet, to the work of Jesus, that they will walk what they talk, that they will, when they say something, when they say, I love you so much, that it's not just empty words, that there's something sacrificial, because our serving in Jesus is sacrificial. It's never superficial. Jesus never said anything superficial. Jesus just dealing with everything. Deal with it, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. There's nothing superficial. He just comes after us. He loves us. And then somewhere along the line, we just have this radical experience with what the cross really did. And I just have a feeling that some people never learn what serving is about because they never have a radical experience with the cross of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, because we live too comfortable of lives, right? So if I was to look at your Instagram account today, I would kind of know what your life is about. Now, there are people in our church, okay, and honestly, God bless you. There's people in our church that you love to hike and you love to climb mountains. And honest to God, seriously, as an islander, I love you. But no, like, you know what I mean? I come from an island at sea level, right? And it's a circle. And so no matter where you go, you always end up home. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way to get lost or eaten by a wild animal. There's people in our church that literally will get up at like 1 a.m, climb a 14er, and then come to church. And honestly, I love you and I respect you, but don't ever, like, ever invite me anywhere. But if I was to look at your Instagram, you've got pictures that say, "I climbed this peak, 14,325 feet." And you have all of your Instagram posts, are you holding little signs on top of mountains? And I love that, because what that does, that tells me what your life is about. Like, that's great. It tells me what you love to do. It tells me like who you love to hang out with, who your friends are, right? I can tell that's what you do. Some people here, you love to shop. You know what? And your whole Instagram thing is about fashion and shopping. I love that. Some of you love cooking. Come on, anybody love cooking? You just love recipes, and you've got like 500 TikTok recipes that you're never going to make saved in your favorites, right? And so, but that's what your life is about. Some of you, it's about relationships. Maybe you're in a relationship. And if I was to look at your Instagram, I would see your relationship. And this is how that works. Like, it starts out with like 10 people, and you're here, and the person that you like is over here. So like 1 in 10, and then over about 20 posts, you know, you start moving in closer on your Instagram, and then all of a sudden you're standing next to each other, and then slowly over the next 20 posts, all the other people disappear until there's only you guys left. And it's like, okay, I totally get it, and I want that for you, okay? But if I was to look at your Instagram or your Facebook, I would be able to know what you're all about. Let me read you this verse, because there's a girl in the New Testament, a young girl, her name was Tabitha, and this is what the Bible says about her. And by the way, Tabitha actually died and then was brought back to life, an incredible story. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was always, everyone say always. So my sermon title today is Always Serving. She was always doing good and helping the poor. So whatever the first century version of reputation is, that was hers. Hers was, you know, do you know Tabitha? Yeah, I know Tabitha. She's great. What's Tabitha about? Dude, she's always helping the poor. She's always serving. Where's Tabitha today? She's feeding the poor, man. It's Monday. Where's Tabitha at? Well, she's just doing good somewhere. She's helping somebody out. And, you know, she's probably out doing something really awesome, and we're sitting here, you know, just eating burgers, and she's out, you know, doing something really great for the kingdom because she had a reputation for that. And sometimes I ask myself, what does the world need from the church the most right now? And what is the antidote to religion and selfishness and piousness and entitlement? What is it? I have to believe that it's serving. She was always doing good. And I always wonder, like, if I was to ask somebody who doesn't go to church at all, like, what do you think of the church? Like, if you were to peruse our posts, like, what do you think of the church? And I think this is true. I'm going to read you a few. And I you know, we don't want this to be the case, but it kind of is sometimes. They would say, well, the church is always arguing. The church is always arguing. They're always arguing with each other. They're always posting about each other. Instead of just loving people and serving people, they're always like in a social media fight over their theology. Probably over the last year, I've seen more posts about theology and people who hate each other's theology. You know, instead of saying we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, you do you, I'll do me. We have a big job here. We got a big job in the world. Let's serve God and build the kingdom. I think they would say they're always asking for money. Churches are always asking for money. Well, we all know that money is a part of the kingdom. You know, that's a part of life. That's why in Deuteronomy it says that God has given his people the ability to establish wealth, that they might establish his kingdom, not that you might establish your kingdom. There's a difference, right? You know, that's mine, brother. You know what I mean? Like, why did God give you wealth? Oh, that's my skyscraper. Really? Yeah, that's my other skyscraper. You know, over there. God has given us the ability to establish wealth that we might establish his covenant, not our kingdom. So they're always asking for money. They're always judging each other. Christians are always judging each other. They don't get along. They don't know how to be a family. People would say that, I think. They're always eating. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a crime, lock me up. Let's go. Christians are known for just going out for lunch. I've asked people, like, what do you think about Christians? You guys are always eating, man. I was like, that's so true. Just you saying that makes me hungry, you know. They're always preaching at everybody. They're always preaching. And so Christians are always preaching at everybody. And that's an interesting thing to say because we understand the role of preaching in the scriptures. Because the Bible says if nobody preaches, nobody's going to know. Like, the truth has to be spoken, right? But it's always interesting. The church is always preaching. They're always preaching. If somebody thinks that the church is always preaching, it just means that no one has ever walked with them. Because the church is not called to just preach. The church is called to walk with people. Walk with them on their journey. Walk with them through their struggles. Walk with them. Because if all we ever do is preach truth, but we never walk with anybody, then the church becomes religious, the church becomes pious, the church becomes entitled, the church becomes selfish. All they ever do is preach. Well, I think that some people think that all the church does is preach is because nobody has ever walked with them. Over time, had coffee, had meals, had arguments, disagreed with each other, had moments where there's tears. It doesn't mean we compromise truth, but part of that truth is that we love people and we walk with them, we just don't preach at them. So the church has to be like, if I'm gonna serve, I gotta walk with people, I gotta love people. Then also, I think the church would say you're always having services. You're always having services. But if the church, if people say the church is just always having services, it says that there's nothing else going on between services. Otherwise, they'd say, well, you guys are doing something else. When Donna and I moved into our very first neighborhood in our late 20s, which is just a little while ago, not long at all, and we built a little house on a park in Oregon. We were youth pastors. We've been saving for years and years to you know, buy a house or build a house. And we finally did it, and our youth ministry at the time was growing, church was growing. We were just busy all the time. I mean, we were having services all the time. Like old school people in here, every once in a while, you know, I call you out. Do you remember how many services you used to have? Do you remember? It was like 400 a week. Because you got first service, second service, Saturday night, first and second on Saturday night, and then some of the really old school charismatics, you guys had like Sunday night, you know, like Sunday night services where you just basked in the presence of Jesus for 3 hours, right? Like, and then you had Monday prayer or stuff, and then you had we had Tuesday night young adults, we had Wednesday night youth ministry with Thursday night practice. And one time one of our neighbors was outside. I said, hey, how's it going? He goes, good, good, good. How are you? I'm doing good. He's like, man, you're never home. I said, yeah, we had a service last night. He goes, man, you guys have a lot of services, you know? And for about 5 years, I realized that I didn't know my neighbors. I'd been there 5 years. I did not know any of my neighbors. And then you go plant a church, and there's no services, and there's no money, and you're in your living room. So for 5 years, I didn't know my neighbors. Then I planted a church, and I realized that that church was my neighbors. And there's this thing that happens in our hearts when we realize that we're not called to just preach and have services. We're actually called to love people and to walk with people and to serve people. And I realized that there was something just drastically wrong with my Christianity. I mean, here's some of the things I wish that people said about us. I wish that people said, oh, the church? Yeah, the church is, you guys are always helping people. You know, the church is, you guys are helping everybody. Why don't how do you do that? Wouldn't it be nice if they said that about us? Wouldn't it be nice if they said, churches, you guys are always praying. I'd be okay with that. You know, they'd be okay with me. Church is praying. I mean, every time I try to go see you guys are in some prayer meeting some way. I think I'd be okay with that one. Because prayer produces something. I wish that they said about us that the church always is loving. And they loved each other. Oh, church, Christians? Oh, man, I'm just so blown away about how you guys love each other. You never post about each other. You never write books against each other. You know, I wish that we could wipe all that away. And they said, oh, we love. How about serve the city? I wish to say, oh, man, the Pearl Church, you guys are always serving the city. I don't know how you guys do it. You help the poor, you feed people, you're working with you guys are doing so much in the city. But it's interesting that if you scrolled the social of the church, of the macro church, I don't think that these are the type of things that you'd see. I also wish they would say this. What do you think of the church? Oh, the church is always representing Christ. Representing Christ. I learned a long time ago that there's a difference between making Christ known and representing Christ. I used to get so fired up. I've got vision for days. Matter of fact, we just did a planning meeting with our team. We have like 100 years of vision, you know? And it's like we have vision all day. We want to make Christ known. We want to make Christ known. But then along the way, I think the more mature the body of Christ gets, you wake up one day and you go, but wait a minute, what am I making him known for? Because that's the most important thing. Because word of mouth is the best advertisement. Did you know that? Word of mouth is the best advertisement. I used to tell church planters, look, social media, I get it. But the truth is, if a church doesn't grow by word of mouth alone, it means that there's something not happening with that group of people that should be happening. People should be getting saved. People should be serving. There should be prayer. There should be healing. There should be transformation. There should be breakthrough. All these things are happening, and it doesn't take social media to grow a church when the church is alive with Jesus, because the word just gets out. What am I making him known for? So there's a few people in the Bible. Let me read off a couple of them, and then we'll wrap this up this morning. But serving holistically, there are so many examples of people in the Bible who served. Here's a few. David brought food to his brothers on the battlefield. Now Jesse said to his son David, take the grain and the loaves of bread to your brothers, to their camp, and take along these 10 cheeses. And I saw that this morning. I thought, okay, I like that. The 10 cheeses part's good. And take it to the commander of the unit. So he shows up to give his brothers food, right? Our responsibility is to support those who are on the battlefield. Our job is to serve. We serve missionaries. We serve NGOs. We serve people who are doing great works outside. Our job is to deliver the resource and the provision that they need. We need to serve them in that way. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And some of you have prayed your whole life that no one would ever do this to you. And I get it. Like, we're glad that grandpa's generation, that kind of went out of the way. Because we've taught this as almost like it's a commandment from Jesus, but it wasn't. Jesus was saying by the washing of the feet, he's not saying literally wash each other's feet. He was saying if you're in the church, you have to serve each other for the rest of your lives. And serve each other in a way that nobody else will serve. Washing the feet, people would walk in sandals, their feet were dirty when they would come in. The most debasing thing, the most wonderful dirty thing you could do was to take someone's feet and wash them. It was saying that nobody is above doing this. Serve each other. We're to be humble towards and serve each other in the church. Joseph fed his brothers in a drought, or after the drought, and after they sold him into slavery. I am your brother, Joseph, he said, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. I love this verse because Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and because Joseph understood serving Yahweh, he forgave his brothers for selling him into slavery, and then he said to them, don't even be upset about it. God allowed you to sell me into slavery so that I could go ahead of you, so that I could save your life when you need me. It's an incredible story. So we are to serve those who have done us the most harm. Ruth served her mother-in-law. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. We are to serve those we're called to. Everybody has a people and a place that you're supposed to serve. We want you to find it. Find your people, change the world. But when God calls you to a people, give yourselves to those people. Two more. The young boy who offered up his lunch at the feeding of the 5,000. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. How far are they going to go amongst so many? This little boy gave his lunch so that Jesus could do a miracle with it. So we serve by sowing our provision for greater miracles. You guys, I could go on and on and on of all the different ways people serve. Let me give you one more. I love this one. Barnabas defended Paul to the other disciples. So Saul is persecuting Christians. He gets saved. And then God sends a guy named Barnabas to defend him because the apostles didn't trust him. They're like, hold on a minute. We know that guy. He's the one who's persecuting us. There are Christians who are dead because of him. And Barnabas goes, hold on a minute. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen Jesus with his own eyes. And how Jesus himself spoke to him. And how in Damascus, after that, he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So we're to serve by defending the guilty and the accused to those who don't see what God has done in them. Our job is to even serve, not only to serve the people who love us, the people who ignore us, the people who hate us, but we're also supposed to serve those who are defenseless. Because even Jesus loves them. Did you know that Jesus loves you and he loves the people who hate you? He loves you and he loves the people who stabbed you in the back. Jesus loves you and he loves the people who did the worst to you. And if we're really gonna serve like Jesus, we have to have the picture of the cross in our heart and in our spirit and remember that that's what we're identifying with. When Jesus says, look, pick up your cross and follow me. He's saying we're here to serve the world and you can't separate Christianity from serving. And serving is not what we do. Serving is who we are. And we have to take all the barriers off of what serving is and give our lives to a city that needs revival. In Jesus' name, please stand to your feet and we're going to wrap it up. And as we do, can you please shout amen one time for me? Okay, as you're standing, please close your eyes and let me just do this one thing. I know we prayed at the beginning, but I want to pray one more time. There are a group of people here today who those that were supposed to serve you hurt you instead. There are people who were called in your life to love you and care for you, and instead they left you destitute and hurting. There are some people here, God is putting pictures in your heart, in your mind right now of people who should have served and loved and taken care of you and watched over you and helped you on your journey, but instead they left you, and this has caused you pain. And this morning, even as you relate to Jesus, you're seeing Jesus through those eyes. And this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to come and he wants to heal you. And he wants you to know that you are the most important thing to Jesus in this room. And there is nobody between you and Jesus. There's no person that left you or hurt you or abandoned you. Those people have no place between you and Jesus because Jesus speaks directly to you as a son or daughter. And he wants you to know that he never left. He never will forsake you. He's got your back. He loves you. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in people's lives. If that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's something in you, you feel like you were abandoned by the one who was supposed to serve you, when I count to three, lift your hand. And I'm going to pray for you today. One, two, three. If that's you, lift your hand. There's probably 10, 15, 20 hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every hand that's lifted. Bless them, love them, heal them. Lord Jesus, come and just wipe all that stuff away. Father, we declare healing in the name of Jesus. We declare that every thought that comes against your will and your plan for their life, we just bind it in Jesus' name thus far. No more. Father, I pray for them that they would know you love them and you care for them. If you lifted your hand, I just believe the Lord wants to heal you and speak to you and love you. There's something happening inside of your heart right now. There was literally hands all over the room. Father, in Jesus' name, let's just take a second. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and just heal. Let him serve you. Let him serve you by taking all of your pain and putting it on the cross. Serve. He wants to love you. He wants to serve you by helping you understand who he wants to be in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, one last time, pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am, the way I am, and I need you. Father, today I receive your forgiveness and your healing. And today, I know you know every need and every desire in my heart. And I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done in my life. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, let's sing a song.